Parenting is hard and fun and exhausting and soul-filling and all the things. And let's be honest, when someone says you've got it down to an art, you think to yourself, I'm just making it up as I go. And we are too. Alamo City Moms is pleased to bring you this extension of our site and favorite articles, covering the funny, the hard, the happy, and the cringy, reminding you that we're all in this together and we're all making it up as we go. This episode might be one you want to listen to with headphones on or when you're alone in the house. We talk about some pretty adult things. Stories in this episode include, please sir, may I have one more? Longing for another child when oops, I did it again isn't an option. My husband gave me an STD. My kids spend 9 hours at daycare and I've learned to be okay with it. And true life. My husband had multiple affairs. Please, sir, may I have one more? Longing for another child when oops, I did it again isn't an option. By Elizabeth, originally published in March of 2015. I've always known, or at least since I knew I wanted to have children, that I wanted to have three. To me, three just seems like the perfect number of kids, neither too few to be considered perfect, perfectly predictable, if you ask me, nor so many that people silently stare at you trying to figure out if you're a Catholic, Mormon, or just good old-fashioned crazy. My husband and I never reached an official agreement on our ideal number of children before we started cranking them out, but since he comes from a long line of families with three or more children, I always considered the matter an open and shut case. Recent conversations with my husband, however, have led me to understand that I made a rather grave miscalculation in judgment. We have been blessed with two wonderful kiddos, the highly coveted girl-boy pair, and my husband is perfectly content to, if not adamant that we should, stop there. On a good day, this difference of opinion is a minor triviality to me, something to be brushed aside and dealt with at a later time. On a bad day, it is devastating, and the looming despair consumes my every waking hour. There is no doubt in my mind that I have my thunderously ticking biological clock to blame for the pressing urgency I feel to resolve this matter. At almost 38 years old, my window for opportunity of closing faster than showgirls on an opening weekend, and as much as my brain likes to believe that I still have all the hipness and energy of a 21-year-old, my body and vocabulary, seriously, hipness, is constantly reminding me that denial ain't just a river in Egypt. And if I'm being honest, the more accustomed I become. And children who can actually entertain themselves for 5 minute intervals at a time, the less appealing diving headfirst back into that season of life, fleeting as though it may be, is to me. Yet remnants of that season of life surround me in my home, and they whisper to me from every corner. When I'm getting dressed in the morning, my hideous maternity clothes still aspirationally hanging in my closet, cry out that they'd like to see the outside world again. The bottles in the pantry and toys in the bottom of the toy bins tell me that they're lonely and long for a baby's hands to hold them. And the baby clothes, neatly folded and labeled in clear storage bin in each child's closet, beckon to be admired one last time. But my heart cries loudest of all. I have room, it shouts. I can love just one more. There is no denying it. I have everything I need to begin again, except my husband's blessing. When I survey my friends about my dilemma, I am nothing short of astounded by how many of them have adopted the better to ask forgiveness than permission approach to family planning. Just make it happen, they advise me with an arched eyebrow. He'll get over it. They always do. All I can think to say in response is that they clearly don't know my husband. I'm not certain he would ever get over deception at that level, and I don't think I can endorse it in good conscience either. I mean, we're not talking about taking the old Amex on an unscheduled joyride to Target here. We're talking about adding a human being to the family tree and planet, and I think that that calls for a united front from the beginning. Maybe if I look at it from the perspective of the lucky women for whom making it happen is as easy as initiating a perfectly timed roll in the hay, I can understand where they're coming from. But for me, it ain't that simple. For me, it would be a multi-spoked web of deceit involving getting my IUD removed, filling and partaking a prescription to help me ovulate, and religiously anointing pee sticks to determine when ovulation was actually taking place so that I could know when to lure my prey into my trap, so to speak. My children were both carefully planned, and though I know God works miracles every day, I'm assuming my third would have to be just as thought out. So to spring a, guess what, honey, we're pregnant, surprise on my unsuspecting and unwilling husband would definitely go over like a ton of lead, pink, and blue balloons. But even as I consider his objections to expanding our family, that we have more than enough, spirit in our house, already spend precious little quality husband and wife time alone, and that I'm overwhelmed and unpleasant enough as it is, that's definitely hearsay. I can't help but feel like our family simply isn't finished growing. I further counter that a few more months of exile in Babyland is a small and temporary price to pay for a lifetime of joy that will come from completing what I see as a lovely but incomplete family. As dramatic as it sounds, when I look at pictures of our family with our two beautiful children, I feel like one is missing. When I watch them play together, I love bearing witness to the dynamic that's developing between them, but I feel like one is missing. They have so much fun together as a pair, and I often find myself wondering how their creativity and jubilance would blossom if we could add a third child to the mix. I come from a large family, and I want my children to experience the joy of having multiple siblings as I did. Sure, in the beginning, siblings often mean little more to a child than competition for resources like toys, rides to after-school activities, and parents' attention. But once they are older, I hope that they would find, as I have, that siblings are best friends and advocates. And so I'm left with questions for which I have no answers, other than lots of prayer. How is it possible that I, someone who has waited so long and hoped so desperately for both of my children, could have the same number of children as women who seem, at least outwardly, more or less ambivalent about their brood? What happens if this gnawing feeling of incompleteness never goes away? What happens if my husband's objection to having a third is permanent and not temporary, as I so fervently hope? What happens if he reconsiders his objections, and then for whatever reason we are not able to have that third child? How am I supposed to get over the feelings that I lost something I never even had in the first place? I know motherhood isn't a gig that ends once I stop having babies, and it certainly wanes from that point forward, as every moment carries me one further from the start of my journey. I'm not ready to wane. I want to rise, to be full again, to experience the joy, the pain, the sacrifice, and everything else about new motherhood one more time. I want to rock my new baby at all hours of the day and night, fully aware that each sleep brings me one step closer to the end of this treasured chapter of my life. I want to breastfeed and full well know at the last feeding that I will never again have the chance to share that sacred moment with another child. I want to look at a picture of my family of three wild and wonderful children and smile with the contented joy of a soul who knows that her work here is done. Yes, I'm getting older, and I can't always rise as quickly from sitting to standing as I once could. And yes, our sweet little family is demanding and crazy, and some days I admit I want to run away and never look back. But most days, I can't help but feeling like I'm just not finished yet. I know I have more to give. I want to experience motherhood one last time. True Life. My husband gave me an STD. Originally published September 2015. It was a typical fall afternoon and I was playing with my kids. The phone rang and I was surprised to see my OBGYN on the caller ID. Ma'am? Your pap smear results came back with some abnormalities. You tested positive for gonorrhea. As a 30-something mother of two who has been married for almost 10 years, I was floored by this information. I had gone to the doctor for what I thought was a yeast infection and never considered that I could possibly have a sexually transmitted disease instead. After all, I was faithful to my husband and a virgin when we got married. I didn't even really know what gonorrhea was. I scheduled a follow-up appointment where I learned the following information. Gonorrhea can't lay dormant for years like some other STDs. The incubation period is generally less than 14 days, meaning symptoms appear within 2 weeks of contracting it. Gonorrhea can be treated with very strong antibiotics. However, some antibiotic-resistant strains are developing that can be difficult to treat. You can't catch gonorrhea from sharing a bathing suit, using a public toilet, or any other strange scenario involving your genitalia, just oral, anal, or vaginal sex. I added this information to what I already knew, namely that I'd only had sex with one person and that one person had been traveling for work on and off for the last 14 days. I drew the conclusion that any sane person would. My husband had given me gonorrhea. I can't describe the overwhelming feelings that came over me during the doctor's appointment and subsequent trip to the pharmacy to fill a prescription for very strong antibiotics, the shame of having my doctor tell me I had an STD, and the anger when I realized that my husband had given it to me. I felt embarrassed when I admitted that it had to have come from him and asked to be tested for all other STDs. I felt afraid that he could have exposed me to something even worse and that he'd fallen in love with someone else. I mostly felt disbelief. If 10 years ago you had asked me what would happen if my husband gave me an STD, I'm sure I would have told you that I would kick him in the testicles, set his car on fire, or something similar. I was surprised when the time came and I didn't do any of those things. Instead, I choked back tears and explained to my husband that he needed to be tested and treated, and that I would appreciate his honesty in explaining how we contracted gonorrhea. I almost wish he would have broken down and admitted to an affair, but he didn't. He acted just as confused as I was, and despite the overwhelming evidence to suggest otherwise, he swore that he must have picked it up in a gross hotel bathroom or from a college girlfriend. We spent months going over what could have potentially happened and always arrived at the same conclusion. It's a mystery. Am I naive? Maybe. Is it likely that he had an affair and would admit it? Probably. But I'm not willing to break up my family over something I can't prove. The STD is not something I think about daily anymore, and I have chosen to focus on the present and future of my marriage rather than the past. My best advice for wives: ask for STD tests during your yearly pap smear, even if you never think you'd contract one, and realize that what may seem like a black and white issue in your marriage may have varying shades of gray. My kids spend 9 hours at daycare every day, and I have learned to be okay with it. Originally published in September of 2018 by 80. It was my first day back to work after having my second baby. Every time someone asked about him, my eyes started watering because I felt so guilty about leaving him at daycare for 9 straight hours without really knowing the people who were going to take care of him and without being able to personally give him all the attention, love, and care that a 12-week-old needs. Working outside the home has never been a question or a doubt for me, even though I still feel guilty about leaving my kids, and sometimes I secretly envy the lifestyle of full-time stay-at-home moms. While writing this, I Googled 9 hours at daycare, and there are a lot of negative comments and guilt from moms who have to accept something that may seem unacceptable for many, including the Latin culture to which I belong. When I perform the same Google search in Spanish, the first result starts with the word regrettably, and then there are many forums where concerned moms express their feelings over their kids spending so much time in daycare atmosphere. When I perform the search in English, the results are similar. Many parents, including me, work 8 hours a day in a regular work environment and must leave their kids at daycare for 9 or even 10 hours a day. Sometimes I can't sleep thinking about all the bad things that could happen and comparing my kids to others who have stay-at-home moms or whose moms are off during summers. While other children are able to spend all summer break at home, my kids had only a week of vacation. A week is all I could offer, as I only have 15 days of vacation a year and must use those days not only for summer, but also for holidays. Acceptance of our lifestyle has cost me a lot of time, but I finally reached a point of peace. I want to share the ways I've learned to be happy while my kids spend 9 hours at daycare. Except that while I work, my kids are learning and having fun. Yes, they enjoy time when I'm not around. While I'm thinking about them all the time and pumping breast milk every 3 hours, they are at a daycare that employs an interactive learning program to stimulate their minds and bodies. Even my baby, who is in a classroom with infants 6 to 12 months, has different activities that help him discover his world and his senses. They read books, go for strolls, have gym time, and do sensory activities. During the summer, he even had a day of water play. In the classroom for my oldest son, who is 4 years old and recently started pre-K, we parents receive a learning plan every week. Kids can talk about animals, the ocean, holidays, the city of San Antonio, while also learning the alphabet, how to write, numbers, and other skills that will help them once they start kindergarten. Trust in their teachers. Even though the teachers are usually complete strangers when my kids start going to a new classroom, we value them for all the time, patience, and love they put into the kids' care. As parents, we have to learn to trust our children's teachers. I know that nobody is going to educate my kids as I do, but teachers do their best and follow the school's learning program. Ignore the comments. This is one of the hardest things to do because everyone has a different opinion. Some people may feel sorry for my kids because they are at daycare all day. When children get sick, doctors always blame the daycare environment, and perhaps rightfully so. We just have to learn to be happy with the lifestyle we chose. In the end, only we can know what our situation is and how happy our children are. Make the best of the time we have together. This represents another challenge because after I pick up my kids, I still must do things at home, cook dinner, and prepare for the following day. I always try to involve my kids in different activities around the house and find a way for us to both enjoy the time that we have together in the routine of a hectic week. On weekends, I make a plan for what we are going to do to make the most of our time together, usually an outing to a fun place for all of us. My husband had multiple affairs. Originally published December 2020. The year was 2002, and my college roommates and I sat around our dorm room talking. Eventually, the topic turned to what would happen if we ever got married and caught our husbands having affairs. The answers ranged from chasing the other woman down to cutting his penis off, but the overall theme of the conversation was that we'd never stay married to a man who couldn't be faithful. The emotions and mental tenacity of those naive young women rang through my head 15 years later when I was faced with the indisputable proof that my husband had, in fact, had sex with more than one woman while we were married. It's easy to say you'd leave if you found out your spouse was cheating on you, unless you're in the situation yourself. For me, the reality was that when I found out, I had been a stay-at-home mom for years, with family on the other side of the country. I felt completely powerless to do much of anything, and when I confronted my husband, he denied everything. With nothing much else I could do, actually, at that point, I pretended that it had never happened and just kept moving forward. As any good therapist will tell you, that strategy never works. A few years later, our marriage was in tatters when he finally admitted to having several affairs throughout the 13 years we were married. When he admitted his affairs, it was almost as if I was outside my own body watching everything play out like a movie. What will the pathetic, scorned wife do? Who were these seductive mistresses who had led the otherwise devoted husband astray? When I got my voice back, the first question I asked was, "Were they prettier than me?" Followed shortly by, "Do you love them?" His reply was, "Of course they aren't prettier than me, and of course I don't love them." But of course, by that time, I was too distraught to hear. Now, 2 years later, here are the lessons I've learned that I hope may help any of you finding out about your spouse's infidelities. Learn to trust your gut. It has taken me years to find the full extent of my now ex-husband's infidelities, but what I've learned is that every gut instinct and intuition I had was right. I let myself be talked out of those intuitions, but I will never do that again. When you have a gut instinct about something, it's usually right. Your looks have nothing to do with it. Halle Berry was cheated on. So was Elizabeth Hurley, who was rated as one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood. People who have affairs do so for their own reasons that have nothing to do with you, and your looks truly have nothing to do with it. Also, no matter what he says, it's not your fault. Your spouse had many other decisions that he or she could have made before choosing to cheat. What you choose to do after finding out is your decision alone. I stayed for a few years after finding out about the first affair. I eventually filed for divorce, but I've known couples that have stayed together after affairs, and some have remained married for many years. If you choose to forgive your spouse, that's great. If you choose to leave him or her, that's fine too. Every situation is different, and so is every decision. You will need a therapist. After affairs, you're left with two options, forgive or move on. Both are tremendously difficult and, in my opinion, require professional help. I did not seek professional help after the first affair, and stuffing it under the rug didn't work.
I did choose to file for divorce after finding about subsequent affairs. Learning to start over as a single mom again has been hard, and my therapist helps so much. Dating again and learning to trust men has also been difficult, and my therapist has helped me navigate that as well. There are more people that can relate to you than you realize. I have been very open and honest since my divorce, although I have not outed my ex-husband's infidelities. Just speaking about filing for divorce has made people open up to me about their affairs or their spouse's affairs. They are certainly humiliating and devastating, but you aren't alone in experiencing them. Finding out about your spouse's affair or affairs is something I wouldn't wish on anyone, but it's something that many moms have experienced and survived. 2 years out of that experience, I'm so proud of myself and the life I've made, and it can be the same for you too. Thanks for sharing a part of your day with us. Alamo City Moms is a San Antonio-based parenting resource by local moms for local moms. You can find the original articles from this episode on our site at alamocitymoms.com. If you enjoyed listening, please give us a 5-star rating. It's like a virtual high five from you to us. And remember, you've got this.